What an amazing weekend. Last weekend was with Easter. I mean, just take a moment. I want to celebrate all locations. We had over 3,200 people show up at all locations, and hundreds give their heart to Jesus Christ. Come on, give it up. Yeah, that's exciting. It's also a thrill to be able to see through all the pictures from Deer Creek and Guthrie and Freedom House and here in Oklahoma City from all experiences, people waving their flags of victory. And we're starting a new series today, Victory. And so I am thrilled about that. Matter of fact, if you don't know, you have the opportunity to be able to lead a group if you want. Let me just say for all locations, we're starting today in Oklahoma City. And then in Deer Creek and in Guthrie, we're going to be starting Wednesday night, where we will have large groups. We also have an opportunity for you to be able to meet with family or friends, and we'll give you a box, and we'll provide everything you need to be able to have your group. The questions, it's just kind of everything in a box, group discussions, crowd breakers, everything you possibly need right here for you to be able to utilize. So thank you very much. And so today we're starting a new series. Some of you are looking at me like, is there something wrong with Pastor? The elephant in the room here? Yes, I did. I did have an accident sometime back, and it's just been kind of weighing on me and getting worse. And finally, I had to have a surgery this week. Good news, my doctor is in the house, and if I go down, he is going to take over my message, okay? And so I am thrilled that you're here. And actually, next week, I will show the video of the accident that caused this. How many up for that? You got a stomach? You can handle it? Okay, because it is actual video, I am not joking, of me and what caused that led to this surgery this week, okay? So that is going to come next week. So invite family, invite friends, invite everybody. It's not going to be on YouTube. It's not going to be on some other social media. You're going to see it first next weekend. I expect a house full. I'll be concerned about that if you're celebrating my pain. You're like, yes, we want to see him crash and burn. I don't know. Hey, turn with me to book of John chapter number 10. Excuse me, the book of Mark chapter number 10. Turn with me to Mark chapter number 10. We're going to dive right into the message today as we start this series. We start with victory. You see, through faith in Jesus and following his example and teachings, we too can triumph over anything that the enemy sends our way. And we're going to break down each week's stories from the gospel that speak to victory, victory that we can have in our own lives. And so today I'm going to start with verse number 46 of Mark, chapter number 10. You can follow along from your Bible. You can follow along from a digital version on the screen. It will be up here, all the verses. It says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. Stop there for just a moment, and let's just take that in. Then they reached Jericho. Okay, they reached Jericho. Now Jesus is about to leave Jericho. But that word is significant to us right now in regards to the victory series. What does that word mean, Jericho? Let's go back in time. A couple of thousand years ago, the children of Israel had been in Egypt's bondage for 400 years. They come out of Egypt. Then they wander in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years, because of their lack of faith and disobedience and unbelief. They wander in the wilderness. Finally, God raises up a new generation that would believe him. They cross the Jordan. And when they cross the Jordan to enter into the promised land, they have their first obstacle, which is what? Jericho. Jericho represented the obstacle, the first one, that could prevent them from getting to where God wanted them to be. It had walled cities that in that time, in that day and age, were unconquerable. You know what the Jericho represents in your life and my life today? It represents the obstacles that keep us from getting to where God wants us to be in our life. And sometimes they seem unconquerable. They seem insurmountable. They seem like they're bigger than you can possibly handle. And the truth of the matter is, they probably are bigger than you can handle by yourself. That's why you need Jesus. Also note in this verse, it says that there was a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. This is key to note. He has a name. Sometimes throughout the Gospels, they will not carry a name with them. It's important because in the context of somebody writing to his audience, if they were a famous, well-known, recognizable person, comes from a good pedigree, because he's saying the son of Timaeus, they would have a name attached. Now, there was oftentimes in the Bible that no name was attached to that person. Have you noticed those? The woman at the well, what's her name? The woman at the well. The woman caught in the act of adultery, what's her name? We don't know. There were several times that there'd be blind people or lepers. It does not say their name. It just says a leper or a blind person. Which this speaks volumes to me. Here's what it speaks to me. Is that even though he had a name that was recognizable, even though maybe he had accomplished much in life, even though he had a pedigree, a family that was recognizable, he struggled like everybody else. Which speaks to me that none of us are above or below. That all of us are in the same issues of life. We all struggle. We all have trials. We all have temptations. We all have battles. We all have our issues. Which it also gives me hope too, because see, while the writer might not have attached the name, Jesus always knew who he was dealing with. So therefore, if somebody doesn't know me and somebody doesn't recognize me, Jesus always recognizes me. And he always sees you in your struggle and in your situation. Let's continue on. It says he was sitting beside the road. What does that mean to me? What does that mean to you? You know what it means to me? Oftentimes you may feel like the world is passing you by. Here is the blind beggar on the road, sitting there, holding up his cup, begging for money as people pass by. Everybody's passing by. Everybody's going. Everybody's achieving life. Have you felt that before? Have you felt like this, like everybody else is advancing? Everybody else is moving forward? Everybody else is seemingly doing great in life? And you seem to be stuck by the road with your cup out, begging, not getting anywhere? Let's continue on. Verse number 47. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Son of David, have mercy on me." I love this. Because you know what it speaks to me here? It speaks to me that while sometimes we can lose focus of what we have lost, and so isolated and so narrowed in what we have no longer have, we can forget what we still have. See, he had lost his eyesight, but he still had his hearing. You know what the devil wants you to do? The devil wants you to be so focused on what you have lost in life that you forget about what you still have in life. You see, that's gratefulness. That's gratitude. And blind Bartimaeus here had lost his eyesight, and he could have been moaning and complaining about that, but he still had his hearing. And you know what God will use to give you your miracle? It's not what you don't have, but what you still have. He will use what you still have in your hand. He will still use what you have at your resources. And he's saying, will you use that? So don't allow the enemy of your soul to get you so sidetracked on what you do not have in life, what you've lost, the marriage you lost, the relationship you lost, the money you've lost, the job you've lost, the health you've lost, all those other things that you do not realize what you still have and what God can still use. Verse number 48, look at it. They said, "Be quiet." Many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." I like that too, because he had determination. And throughout the scripture, God showed favor and special attention to people who were persistent and people who were determined to get to him. You know, one thing all of us can have, you might not have a certain talent somebody else have, but you can have determination. You might not have certain gifting someone else has, but you can have persistence. You know what it says on the day of judgment? People stand before God and he said, well done, you good and faithful servant. You know what we all can do? We can all keep showing up. We can all keep knocking on the door. We can all keep asking. We can all keep seeking. We can all keep going after Jesus. And that's what this blind beggar represents. Somebody who was willing to continue to press forward even when it seems like hope was lost. And God loves that. Note this. When Jesus heard him, he stopped. Underline that. Hang on to that thought. I'll come back to it in just a second. And said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on. He's calling you. Which is really interesting to note to me, okay, is that the very people that were telling him to shut up, now they're being used by Jesus to bring the man to him. Isn't it amazing how God can turn the tables? Isn't it amazing how God can turn the situation around in a heartbeat? And I see this is happening right here. But I notice it says that Jesus stopped. You see, because when people were determined to get to Jesus, Jesus tend to respond in one of three ways. I want you to notice throughout the Gospels, one of three ways he often responded. He either stopped, stooped, or stood. Write those down. We'll go back to those in just a moment. Stopped, stooped, or stood. So right here, Jesus is walking along, and this man is calling out. And they tried to quiet him, and he yelled all the more. I don't believe Jesus stopped the first time. I believe that he waited to see his persistence, his determination, but eventually he stopped. You see, because when you're determined to get to Jesus, he stops. He stops for Zacchaeus, who climbs up into a sycamore tree. He calls throughout the scripture, people would be yelling out for him. He would stop. Because that determination, that faith, that persistence gets the attention of Jesus. So maybe you showed up today and you're struggling through something. Keep yelling out for Jesus. Keep calling out for Jesus. You're struggling in your emotions. You're struggling mentally. You're struggling with an addiction. You're struggling with answers to life, knowing God's will for your life. Keep calling out for Jesus. He will stop. But if you don't, he will pass by. How do I know that? Throughout scripture, it says that he would have passed them by. One time, the disciples were on the lake, and there was a storm, and they're scared. They're fearful for their life. And it says that Jesus came walking on the water, and he would have passed them. What did it say? He would have passed them by. But they called out to him. You see, Jesus would have passed by if blind Bartimaeus hadn't called out to him. But he kept screaming out, calling out the name of Jesus, and Jesus stopped. The second word is he sometimes would stoop. I'll give you just one example of that in the Bible. One example is the woman caught in the act of adultery. And her accusers bring her, drag her to Jesus. And Jesus, they throw her down at the feet of Jesus, the scripture says. And as she is laying there at the feet of Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus stooped down to the ground. You know what he's doing? In her moment of need of Jesus, when she is thrown on her face, he gets down to where she is at. I like that about Jesus. It says that I may be flat on my face. I may be flat on my back. I may be in my shame. I may be in my struggle. It feels like I have given up all hope, but my Jesus in those moments will come to me, and he will stoop down to where I'm at, and he will say, I'm here for you. If no one else is going to care, I will be the first one to get down to where you are on your level and show you that I care for you still. The third word is he stood. Different times throughout the Bible, he stood for people in need. Let me give you one example of that. In the book of Acts, chapter number 6, Jesus has now went to the heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Stephen is the very first martyr in the New Testament. He is being stoned for standing up for Jesus. And you know what? As he is being stoned, you know what the scripture says? That he was having this vision as he is dying from being stoned. And he is having this vision of heaven. And he sees the heaven open. And he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, which is so significant, church. Because every other picture you get of Jesus in heaven, he is seated in heaven. He is seated there to show his authority, to show his power, to show he has finished his job. But in this situation, he is standing, which speaks volumes to me. When you are attacked, when you are persecuted, when people are throwing stones your way, there is one person who will stand for you if you're doing it for all the right reasons, and his name is Jesus Christ. He stood. So let's go back to this Jericho thing. Jericho represented the obstacles. There was three obstacles that were in the way of this man named Bartimaeus. Let me give you one of them, the crowd. The crowd was an obstacle for him. You know what the crowd represents? Listen to me. The crowd represents other people's opinions. It represents the applause of man. It represents our desire to fit in. It represents the peer pressure of other people. Anybody listening? It represents all of that stuff that we want out of life. Because all of us tend to want other people's approval. We want to fit in. We want the boss to say, well done. We want family members to applaud us. We want friends to say, you're incredible. We want that. And so what happens, we tend to do what the crowd wants us to do. Most people in culture just kind of fit in. They kind of, in here, blind Bartimaeus has the temptation of the crowd saying, shut up, quiet, stop yelling. You're disturbing Jesus. You're disturbing all of us around. But it says when he heard the crowd, he yelled the more louder than he was before. Because he said at that moment, I have listened to the crowd, and the crowd has helped me make decisions, but I'm still not better because I followed the crowd. And today, I'm going to go against what the crowd says is the thing to do. I'm going to keep yelling out for Jesus. So that was the first obstacle. The second obstacle, write this down in your notes, is the cup. If you're not a note taker, start taking notes, because the Bible says those who take notes will be the first ones into heaven. There's people not taking notes shaking their head. The Bible does not mention a cup that this beggar was carrying, but it's understood. In fact, the writer would have wrote this knowing that every single person who read this of that time and that age would know he had a cup. Because that cup represented the contributions he would get from his begging. That cup was what he needed to put food in his mouth and a new blanket to keep him warm and a coat. And so he would go around with his cup and he would beg more. You see, that cup represented something that was so very important to him, so vital for him. Now stop just for a moment, because all of us have our cups. In fact, I got a question for you. Who's contributing to your dysfunction? Because sometimes we can begin to lean upon others. We depend upon others to provide for us. Oh, my company has to come through. Oh, my retirement has to come through. Oh, this has to come through. And all of a sudden, we become beggars like anyone else, and we're depending on someone else to provide for us. And the truth of the matter is, there's only one that can really, really provide, because everybody else and every other system and every other situation and governments are going to fail you, but Jesus will never fail you. He was begging. He was looking for answers. I find that there was a story that Jesus used in the Bible, John chapter number 4, the woman at the well. The woman comes to Jesus at the well, and she comes with her bucket, her big cup, and she comes to get water, and Jesus begins to tell her and reveals to her that she had been married 5 times and now living with the 6 individuals. She realizes, wow, this dude is pretty powerful. And he says, no, I can give you water that you will never thirst again. You're going to drink from this water and you're going to be thirsty again. But he said, if you let me, I can give you waters that will flow out of your innermost being that you will never thirst again. And you know what? Blind Bartimaeus, he probably heard that story. He probably knew a little bit about that. And so he realized that his cup, which has been so crucial for him, so beneficial for him to put food on the table week after week and day after day, he realized that ultimately he can fill this cup up, but he was going to have to beg again. But if he could just get to Jesus, he would not have to beg again. again. If he could just get to Jesus, Jesus could fill his cup once and for all so that he would never have to beg again. And so you know what he does? He takes his cup, puts it aside. So two obstacles down, the crowd, the cup, which brings me to the third obstacle, the coat. The coat was the third obstacle that he faced. Thank you, armor bearer. See, because the coat is so important. Matter of fact, it states it here. Look what it says. Look at verse number 50. It says, Bartimaeus threw aside his, say it with me, jumped up and came to Jesus. What does that mean? You see, most people believe that during that time frame that the government would issue coats to people in their need. And so that coat was a government-issued statement to everybody around that blind Bartimaeus was actually blind and that it was okay to contribute to him. So you know what it was? It was a label. It was a label for him to wear that provided security, provided the confidence that every day he could get his cup and he could go out and other people could know that they could give with assurance that he really was a blind man, not somebody trying to just get at people. But while that coat was nice, that coat could keep him. You see, labels will do that. Won't labels keep you from moving forward? And so who gives you labels? Let me give you. The devil will give you labels. Other people will give you labels. You will even give yourself labels. You see, the devil will slap them on you quick as anything. You make a mistake, he'll slap that on you as a failure. He'll slap that on you as an addict. He'll slap that on you, and you will carry that. You know what? I find other people will also slap labels on you. I have it happen sometimes on Sundays as I'm standing in the lobby. Somebody will walk up to me, and they'll take one of their kids' stickers and slap it on my back. They're putting a label on me, their child's name. And every once in a while, I will walk back in here and not realize it. If anyone has ever stuck a sticker on me like that, may the Lord bless you with ingrown toenails this week. But you know what I got to do? I got to pull the sticker off. In our house, we buy jars sometimes. Sometimes we buy a really nice jar. That jar will have a label on it. When we're done eating the container and the contents out of that jar, you know what we will do? We will take that jar and we will begin to scrape the label off. Sometimes that label is hard to get off. Sometimes that label I have to just like scrub and scrub and let it soak in soapy water and hot water. And then I pull it back out and I scrub it some more. And then I put it back in and then I scrub it some more. Anyone ever done that? And then you keep going over and over again with that label. And finally, when I get the label clear and it looks like there's never been a label on that, then Shannon and I will fill it with what we want to fill it with. This speaks volumes to every single person in this world. Because you know what? God wants to put a new label on you. The world has put a label on you. The enemy of your soul has put a label on you. And some of those labels that need to come off may take some soaking in the presence of God. It may take a lot of time in the Word of God. It may take a lot of discipleship. But eventually, you can scrub that label off and you can begin to realize that you're clean from that old label and God can put inside of you what He wants to put in you. So you know what He does? He takes his coat. He pulls it off. And I'm sure there was some sentimental value. I'm sure there was something special to that because he probably tried to fill out a lot of papers and went through a lot of talking with people to get that particular label and that coat that was going to help him be able to beg. But this day he realizes that he needs Jesus. And you know what he does? He takes that label and he takes it and throws it off. No more. No more. I'm not hanging on to the label anymore. I'm moving forward. Which brings me to the last thought. It's the calling. Write this down, the calling. You see, in verse number 49, it says that Jesus, they said, he is calling you. He is calling you today. You see, when Jesus calls, he qualifies. Did you hear me? When Jesus calls, he qualifies. And he's qualified you right now. And he's calling your name. The question I have for you, though, is that do you know what you want from Jesus? One of the things that I have quite often, people say to me, Pastor, I just want to be happy, especially in their marriage. I just want to be happy. And so they're filing for divorce papers or they're going through this or that because they just say, I just want to be happy. I'm tired of not being happy. Because all of us want to feel something. All of us want to feel good. All of us, but see, your answer is not that you're just happy. Sometimes out of your attempt to just be happy, you can turn to the wrong things and the wrong sources because Jesus is your only real source of joy and peace. Notice verse number 51. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. Rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has healed you. Stop there just a moment. He says, your faith has healed you. Now, I know that one of the great mysteries that we sometimes think about the gospel is that we have faith in God, but I think one of the great mysteries of the gospel is that God has faith in us. God believes in you. And that God has placed everything that you need in this world inside of you, which I want you to look at the next verse. It says, instantly the man could see and followed Jesus down the road. Instantly, he said, go, your faith has made you healed you. Now instantly the man could see and he followed Jesus down the road. I want you to write these three things down. This is so important. First off is this. Faith is in you. Faith is in you. Inside of that blind man was the faith he needed to get his miracle. And you see, God doesn't need something that you do not have to perform the miracle that he has for you. Inside of blind Bartimaeus, you see, you look on his outward condition. His outward condition said that he's blind. He doesn't have much. But inside of him was a seed of faith. And the Bible says that if you have the seed of a faith of a mustard seed, you can speak into that mountain will be what? Moved. Look at this, Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. In other words, think of yourself as that you're a blind beggar just like anyone else struggling through life. But in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to, what does that say? Read it with me. Each of, not some of you, not a few of you, but each of you, inside of you is the faith that you need. Next is this. Faith grows by hearing. Secondly, faith grows by hearing. You see, obedience, even when God seems crazy in what he's asking you to do, brings victory. And he refused to accept his lot in life. He said, God has something better for me. He's better from what I'm going through right now. God has something better for me. Look at Romans chapter 10. So faith comes by hearing. That is hearing the good news about what? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word of God is who? Jesus Christ. You know what he heard? He heard about Jesus going into Jericho. He heard about the miracles into Jericho. He heard about Jesus coming out of Jericho. And when he's coming out the next time, that faith is continuing to grow inside of him. That seed is sprouting into something. And he says, I cannot let this opportunity pass me by right now. I've got to take advantage of this moment. Let me just tell you, keep feeding your faith. If you're struggling, keep feeding your faith. It's inside of you. The devil will say you don't have it. I have people come to me and say, I do not have the faith. Yes, you do have the faith. You might not be feeding your faith. What you need to be feeding your faith. What you're feeding your faith is listening to stuff on TV you shouldn't be listening to. Listen to the news, listen to this, listen to that. Get in God's word. listen to some people who speak to the miracles of God in the presence of God. That's why you come last week and you hear the stories of people's life change, and all of a sudden something sprouts inside of you and you realize there's something more and I can receive that miracle for myself. Why? Because you saw it in someone else. Last is this: faith must be activated. So faith is in you, faith grows by hearing, and faith must be activated. Jesus is passing by and he says, I must seize my moment. I must take advantage of this time. I must go after. Look at James chapter number 2, in verse number 26. It says, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. What does that mean to me and you? What does it mean to me and you? Is that faith can be there, it can be growing and maturing, but at some point you've got to step out radically and trust Jesus Christ. You've got to risk. You've got to risk your pride. You've got to risk your sense of security. You've got to risk your cup, the crowd. You've got to risk the coat. You've got to risk something to answer his call for your life and step out on nothing. Which brings me a question that I have for you. The question is this: what is it that you want most? Do you want the healing or the healer? What do you want more in your life? The healing, your deliverance, your victory, or the healer? Is anyone tracking with me today? Because this is good right here, what I'm about to get to. Because blind Bartimaeus wanted more than just his sight. He wanted Jesus. How do I know that? Because it says that he followed him along the way. And there was other times in the Bible that that's not the case. I can think of 10 lepers one time. These 10 lepers came to Jesus calling out, and Jesus says, you're healed. Go and go to the priest. And as they went on their journey, they realized their healing. And it says that one stopped and came back to Jesus. The other 9 went on. Jesus has this one person come to him. And Jesus says, where's the other 9? He says, I don't know, Lord, but all I know is I've been healed and I come to you. You know what it speaks to me? It speaks to me that so many people, they just want Jesus in their crisis. They want Jesus in their situation right now. And after their situation is resolved, after there's healing, after there is deliverance, after something changes in their finances, then you know what? They go back to their old ways of chasing after themselves. There must come a place that you realize, I want Jesus more than I want anything else in this world. Take this world, but give me Jesus. And this man realized that it wasn't about his healing, it was about the healer. Every location, I want our prayer team to begin to move to the front. I want our prayer team to begin to move to the front. And there's people begin to respond even as I'm praying right now. Because God, you maybe feel like you're standing on the side of the road. Things are passing you by. People are passing you by. Healing is going to happen. But you got to go after the healer, not the healing. As I begin to pray, if you're here and you need an answer from God, you need direction, you need healing, I want you to begin to step out and begin to come to this front. And let's believe God. Father, I pray right now by the power of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I pray in every location, God, that we begin to respond to you. We run to you, the healer, expecting you to do your thing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, begin to respond right now in Jesus' name. Amen.